CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Boston, protests against the Trump administration and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency cutbacks and layoffs. Bonnie Jen, one of the event's organizers, says they're fighting for working people across the country.
This is an absolutely unprecedented march of over 100 different organizations across a plethora of different issues, whether that's climate justice, fighting the criminal legal system, immigrants' rights, workers' rights, coming together from all across Massachusetts.
Layoffs today impacting health agencies, including the CDC and even staffers at the U.S. Nuclear Agency. A guilty plea today from Andrew Lester. The Kansas City man was charged with shooting the unarmed black teen who mistakenly went to the wrong house to pick up his younger brothers in 2023. Ralph Yarrow suffered a brain injury but has recovered. West Coast states cleaning up after the severe storms yesterday triggered mudslides in Southern California and heavy snow up and down the coast. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced legislation to protect AM radio. The bill would require automakers to continue making AM radio accessible in their new passenger vehicles at no additional cost to consumers. The lawmakers say AM radio is a crucial service, especially for farmers who use it to receive critical emergency information and local news. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service is issuing a public health alert for frozen, fully cooked, ready-to-eat meat and poultry pasties due to misbranding and an undeclared allergen. The products were produced using an egg wash, which contains egg, a known allergen that is not declared on the product label. FSIS is issuing this product health alert to ensure that consumers with allergies to eggs are aware that this product should not be consumed. The frozen, fully cooked, ready-to-eat meat and poultry pasties were produced on and prior to December 11th and have a one-year shelf life. The following products are subject to the public health alert. 8-ounce plastic packages containing the pasty oven pasty with chicken and cheese. 8-ounce plastic packages containing the pasty oven pasty, pizza pasty with pepperoni, 15-pound cases containing 38-ounce units of the pasty oven pasty with chicken and cheese, and 15-pound cases containing 38-ounce units of the pasty oven pasty pizza pasty with pepperoni. The products bear establishment number EST20650 inside the USDA mark of inspection. These items were sold at the establishment's restaurant in Michigan and shipped to fundraiser groups, such as those for schools and nonprofit organizations in Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's the NBA All-Star Game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard was just 9 years old when his father took him to the NBA All-Star Game at the Oakland Arena, not far from where they lived. They saw Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal. This weekend, at age 34, Lillard will perform in his 9th All-Star Game as a player just across the bay in San Francisco.
Something that I'm extremely proud of, proud to be a part of it. And just being in that environment and so many people that I grew up with, that I grew up around, and, you know, people who really know me and know my background and my story, to be able to see how far I've come. I'm excited for them to be able to see that.
College basketball, big game for Wisconsin tomorrow, taking on number 7th-ranked Purdue in West Lafayette, game time at noon. Greg Gard was on the Jim Rome Show.
I think just how this roster was intentionally put together, and then it's up to the players to perform and bond together and grow, and this group has done a terrific job of that.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, some snow, a low around 19 degrees, an inch or two possible. Another inch or two possible on Saturday with a high near 29. Saturday night, snow tapers off, cloudy skies, a low of 15. More snow possible on Sunday with a strong northwest wind.
It's 21 right now.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo, talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend's headlines and give a preview to the spring primary election on Tuesday. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Welcome or welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Today, we're looking back at some of our favorite moments from the past month. In this hour, it's a favorite episode from a Monday with Harvey K. Here is Monday, January 27th on FDR and militant liberalism.
Jazzed as hell, Harvey K. He's our favorite Delano Democrat. He's a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back.
This is the highlight of my Mondays.
Monday? Well, the whole week, man.
Absolutely. Least... But if I think about it like that, then I long for the Mondays.
Longing. I love it. Harvey and I will text each other throughout the week. And so we always have lots and lots to talk about, Harvey. Before we get into some of the executive orders and the actions of this administration, as we were preparing for the show today, you asked, where are the Dems? What are the Dems doing? And I threw this one out there from the Washington Post. Democrats flipped the script, eyeing debt limit to block Trump's agenda. Now, generally, that'd be the Republicans who would hold, you know, that kind of leverage over the Democrats. And apparently there's some folks that are thinking that, well, now is the time for the Dems to maybe hold that over the Republicans' head. Obviously, that could be calamitous, but my understanding, hell, man, the Republicans are telling America there's going to be a little pain. You're just going to have to deal with it. There might be some inflation. Maybe coffee's going to go up. Eggs aren't going down. So, you know, too bad, so sad, get over it. I don't think the Dems should necessarily be as concerned. And I say that, of course, people are concerned when things are hard for people. I get that. But that's not of the Democrats' making. This is a Republican administration. Republicans can get things done if they get the votes and get things happening. They're not going to. What's your thought of the Democratic Party, you know, standing up, be it this the debt ceiling or some other major piece of legislation that the Republicans are going to need those Dems on? I think they should play super, super, super hardball. Gloves off, Harvey K. That's what I say.
Well, you should point out that when you brought up that question of the Dems playing hardball by blocking some, you know, the debt limit. That was instigated by my saying, well, where are the Democrats?
Yes, where are the Democrats?
But I'm stupid. I should have checked. How many Democrats would have to cross the aisle to enable the Republicans to move
to get something done?
Well, yeah.
I think if the Republicans, given that it's a budgetary issue, that the Republicans all are in unison, they could get it done. But there's those hardcore Republicans who have never, ever voted for a debt ceiling raise.
Yeah.
So if you assume some of those cats are never going to do it anyway, they have to come to the Democrats to get anything done in that regard.
You mean men and women would lift it. Yeah. I mean, what do I think of it? I think anything that shows the Democrats are there and trying in some way to make a difference over the horizon in people's lives is a good idea. Of course, I can imagine, in one sense, I can imagine Trump saying, okay, yeah, well, we'll shut the government. But as you and I have already observed, shutting the government is not a popular thing to do.
Yeah, unless the Republicans won't get their Social Security checks, Harvey K. That's not going to, you know, imbibe them to support this party, if that's the case.
Oh, wait a minute. I get Social Security checks. Hold on a second. No, but seriously, it is striking. The Democrats should stand up on and make life difficult for the Republicans.
Yes.
However, I hope they're smart enough, really smart enough, and dynamic enough to get a message out as to why they're doing it. Now, we're not just doing this to obstruct government. We're not just doing this basically to embarrass the Republicans. We're doing this because we have a vision and an agenda. And if we don't start challenging the Republicans, think of the nightmares that will ensue from all of these executive orders. I will say this was interesting to me that when FDR, I always go back to FDR, when FDR took power in 1933, when he was inaugurated, the first 100 days became legendary, not just famous, but legendary for the kinds of initiatives that were launched. But they were launched by way of congressional votes. They were legislated. Okay. We now have, this is what makes it seem so horrific. We now have this slew of executive orders that have come out during this past week, which range from both the most serious kinds of things, like challenging the Constitution on birthright citizenship, rounding up people to deport them. I mean, serious stuff, as well as, to me, seriously silly things, such as the Gulf of what? America? Okay. I mean, that's ridiculous. Our allies, nobody in the rest of the world is going to make that change in their vocabulary and their atlases or otherwise. And there are some other silly things, but too much of it is very, very serious. So it's important for the Democrats to start making noise about the fact these are not legislative things. These are executive orders that threaten the very meaning of democracy. I mean, they should really get out there and they've got to start pitching why.
Yeah, and certainly, folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. As it pertains to the debt ceiling fight, I think that's pretty easy. Well, you know, the only reason Republicans want to raise the debt ceiling is so they can fund the tax breaks for the wealthy. We want to make sure that, you know, that Social Security and Medicare are viable and for the future. That's, you know, and angle it and put it in that respect, because come on, man, there are way more of us than them, Harvey. I don't understand how this is so lopsided. The many over the money, man. The many can always beat the money if they, you know, speak with one voice.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, what I'm getting at is they need to be already making that message heard. And right now, I mean, the only thing people know right now about the Democrats, if they know anything at all, is the fact that they've got this inside the party election going on, which seems to be coming down to the head of the Democratic Party here in Wisconsin, right? Ben Wickler. Mm-hmm. Versus Ken Martin, the head of the it's as if Wisconsin's playing Minnesota in that. What is the award? The Paul Bunyan?
The Axe. They play for the Axe.
yeah. So I mean, as long as we can get the message out there as to why we're doing this, because you know the Republicans have a very, very loud megaphone that they're going to be shouting. Look, these are the obstructionists, and they're going to depend on people not remembering who their obstructionists have been all these years.
Well, isn't that part of the fire hose of activity is to keep people bouncing side to side, one foot to the other, trying to figure out what's going on? It's just a deluge of BS. In the meantime, we're jumping around. They got their hands in our pockets, Harvey K.
Yeah, it's funny. As you said that, I imagined the emoji on my phone that would fit that image. And there's one that where our heads are banged. It's like a head is going back and forth on the neck. One would have to sort of press it like 100 times to really get to the image of Americans' heads bouncing.
And we need to be cognizant of that, to not fall for the shiny objectism and stay focused on what matters. And it's relative to the people who are observing the activity. Does it matter to you, Harvey K., that every single Democratic senator condemned Trump's pardoning of the January 6th insurrectionists?
Yeah, it is amazing to me that there weren't more Republicans willing to join in challenging.
Or any.
Or
any. Zero. Well, man, they're all.
It was only. It was zero. It was absolutely zero.
There are no senators, Republican senators, no.
I had this fantasy that the former head of the the former heads of these parties would. Well, there are Republicans around the country, but not where it's important that could sign up for that vote, right?
Yeah, exactly. No,
horrific. Absolutely horrific. By the way, and let's be clear about what that implies, those pardons. He's released these folks who stormed the Capitol, invaded the inner sanctums of the Capitol, and threatened to hang the vice president of the day, who was a very conservative Republican. And
he's still
and basically
a Republican.
Sorry. Yes, indeed. He still is a Republican.
You, Harvey, if I may interject, if I'm a member of a party and they all want to hang me,
Are you sticking around?
I think I'm going to start another party, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go there, man.
That, yeah.
What?
Right. I don't want to belong to any party that wants to hang me. How's that for? Oh, I mean,
that's such a low bar. My God.
Right.
Folks are listening
but
to
I was going somewhere with that.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right,
I was going somewhere with that. And the point I was trying to get to is the fact that that's the creation of what in Italy were black shirts and in Nazi Germany, brown shirts. That's how you make this paramilitary force out there representing a threat. And let's not forget that vast numbers of people actually didn't get to vote in some places in this country because there was coercion used against them to vote. Greg Palast, a journalist, has a strong point to make that, in fact, those kinds of activities might well have cost Harris key votes in states.
Yeah, Greg's been on the show in the past, and you know, you take 10,000 here, 50,000 there, a few thousand there, add them all up over on voter suppression. Yeah, they can certainly have an impact on the result, and that's kind of the point. It's always pressure, Harvey. I mean, that is the concern that we have. Are you satisfied with what we've seen so far? Right. Coming out of the Democratic Party is a pushback against this administration?
No, because we still do not have a real, if you like, core of leaders who are speaking on behalf of the Democratic Party. Okay, I don't think Schumer and Jeffries are dynamic enough, determined enough, and some of the remarks they've made I find absolutely upsetting. Okay, and. You know, I mean,
oh no! Now, see, I think Schumer is a little softer than Jeffries. I think Jeffries got some can be dynamic if he chooses to be. What do you remember specifically what Jeffries?
Well, there was something about placing our hope in God. It was something along those lines.
That was Jeffries, yeah, you texted.
That was Jeffries,
me,
right? That it was Jeffries. Jeffries.
Come on, Jeffries.
Now, I don't mind. I mean, you know, freedom of worship. But don't presume that God is going to intervene, or otherwise Trump wouldn't have won.
Yeah, maybe the devil intervened, Harvey K. Here's what Hakeem Jeffries at Rep Jeffries tweeted out. Presidents come and presidents go through it all. God is still on the throne. And my buddy's comment was, hell of a strategy. That's not a strategy. I mean, sure, but what are you going to do about it? Doesn't God help those who help themselves, Harvey? Come back with us. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Show. We're revisiting January 27th with Harvey K.
Jess, you hear me, right? Do me a favor. Whatever that song was, send me a link to that.
You got it. That was Teenage Anarchist by Against Me.
Oh, I gotta put that on my Spotify if it's available.
I'm a middle-aged anarchist.
It doesn't have quite the same.
I wish I could call myself middle-aged, but I've never called myself an anarchist. But I love the Chumbawamba. I mean, they were anarchists. No, I loved you. I used to love it when they played Chumbawamba's "You Can Knock Me Down," whatever.
Yeah, at
Lambeau Field.
Right. You know what you're listening to? We're listening to Harvey K. Once again, he's a professor emeritus of democracy. We still love democracy in this country, right? Right? From the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Got some callers going to get to you as well. 855-752-4842. Our pal from the leftist coast, L.A. Tom, you are up. Happy Monday, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, happy Monday, Dom. Harvey, I want to ask you, how is it that we can get two questions? One, how is it that we can get more people calling up and we can actually develop a strategy with all our senators and representatives on the Democratic side to say, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat? That's my first question. And my second question is, how do we get these politicians to stop saying, I don't take money from lobbyists, I don't meet with lobbyists? Like AOC says, why don't they just say, I want to fight to get money out of politics? I want to fight to get lobbyists out of politics. I would have a much more pleasurable message and going towards those people if they just said they want to get money out of politics. Even if they take it right now, I'd rather them say, I want to get money out of politics and do it that way rather than I don't take lobbyist or corporate money. It just doesn't really seem to do anything to people.
All right, well, great questions, Tom. Thanks for calling.
I'll start with your second question, Tom. I would love to see controls on the monies in politics. It would be great to have publicly funded elections, but our opportunity to get that kind of change passed us by. There wasn't a moment when you had the likes, say, of McCain and Feingold working together to control those kinds of, you know, resources polluting our politics. I don't see that happening now. But to go back to your first question about how do we get more people saying, I am an FDR Democrat? Well, I would love that. I wish we could have had Bernie saying that the two times that he ran. I think that would have I think that he would have actually found himself even more votes had he done so, because people might well have run from his democratic socialist language. The only thing I would tell you is that, and maybe this is not going to happen as much because we're supposedly moving out of the woke era, right? There are a lot of people who don't want to say FDR Democrat because it conjures up images of the days of still of segregation, or it conjures up the image of the internment of the Japanese Americans. I mean, there are reasons people do not want to use the term FDR Democrat. Having said that, I mean, I'd be more than happy to call myself a New Deal Democrat, something like that. But I'm more than happy also to say FDR Democrat, because to my mind, if I can just, I sent this to you as well, Dom, FDR said very clearly in the introduction to his volume, 1938 volume of public papers, "I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated that, my own party, the Democrats, can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism." And what did he mean by that? It is clearly, if you look closely at other things he said and at the policies and legislation he pursued, it means social democracy, okay? Not simply liberalism. Though liberalism itself is unfortunate, it's taken on the lack of, it's actually lost its aura. But that I think is essential for us to be talking in those terms. Yes, Tom.
855-752-4842. You know, the fact, the money in the politics thing, a few things, the lobbyists. I think we have the right to address our government, right? I mean, if I have a problem with X, Y, or Z, I can go to my legislator and lobby for changes, right? That is the action. Now, there are paid lobbyists, got that, understand that.
Yeah.
That would, you know, do that for different organizations. I think that's appropriate. I think that is, you know, there could be a group of labor. You know, hey, we represent a lot of labor. We want, you know, these kinds of changes made to the laws. And yeah. You know, whatever the case may be, we have the right to redress or address the government as a matter of our constitution. So I think that's okay. Now, the big problem is not the lobbying, not the asking, right? It's the delivering of the money that becomes a bigger problem. But yeah. Wouldn't the value be, you know, really, hey, I can deliver these votes. You know, shouldn't you be able to persuade, if you're going to be a lobby for a position, to say, here's our position, here's why we want it, and here's the folks that are going to come along in this manner to push this, and if you support that, they will support you. Right. Is that like old fashioned to me, or is it all about just, you know, money in a duffel bag, Harvey?
Yes, that is old fashioned of you. But being old fashioned is okay by me. I mean, I may be a radical, but I'm a radical in an old fashioned way. I'm not a reactionary. Let's get that clear. Let's not lose touch of that word, reactionary, as opposed to radical. Radical was progressive. Reactionary really did want to go back to the kinds of things Trump would love to drag us back to.
But to your point on radical militant liberalism.
Yeah,
I want to dive into that a little bit more on the other side. You're a smart guy, man. How does that pertain to today's environment in today's language? If things kind of change over time, as you mentioned, I want to get a better handle on that.
Back in a minute with more from January 27th.
When you were young and you wanted to set the world on fire, do you remember? When you were young and you wanted to set the world on fire, when you were young and you wanted to set the world on fire, when you were young and you wanted to set the world on fire.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Get ready for an entertaining evening with comedian Jeremy Nunes, the mayor of comedy. The Richland County Performing Arts Council will host the show Saturday night at 7 at the Richland Center City Auditorium. After serving as a small town mayor, he finds true life events make the best comedy stories.
A lot of people ask me, are these stories for real? I'm like, they are. And, you know, it's tough for people to believe a lot of them. There's one in there. I had a guy call me up, you know, being in a small town. I am the chief of police. I am the animal control officer. And we had an abandoned house that had been taken over by skunks. And he felt it was my duty as the default animal control officer to go in there and collect the skunks. And I was like, well, I don't know what you expect me to do. And he's like, well, you're chief of police. You can carry a gun. Go in there and shoot them. So, yeah, I've been taking baths in tomato soup for a while.
The show Saturday is for all ages.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a something so squeaky clean that, you know, if you're in the party crowd, you wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't say that at all. I think everybody would have a good time. My opening act is in the same realm there, too. So, it's enjoyable for everybody, whether you're somebody out there on the snow machine partying it up or somebody, you know, church on Sunday and don't go anywhere else, everybody in between. So
you can sample some of Jeremy Nunes's comedy. He has a special streaming now on Amazon Prime. Nunes also has a book available. Jeremy Nunes will take the stage at the Richland Center City Auditorium Saturday night at 7. Doors will open at 6. Tickets priced at $20 are available on Eventbrite and will also be available at the door. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Forever bros Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are coming under fire from Kansas City Chiefs fans for having a double date with their best girls, Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, fairly certain it was in that order, just 24 hours before the Super Bowl. What? Word on the street is that Taylor Swift ordered a huge Kobe burger and French fries, and according to Chiefs fans on social media, that could be exactly why the Chiefs laid an egg in front of a worldwide audience while trying to three-peat. No idea what Kelce and Mahomes had to eat, but after seeing the way they played during the big game, I'm guessing it had lots of tryptophan. Irate Chiefs fans, most of whom I'm guessing probably never played in a Super Bowl, disapproved of the double date, insinuating that said date and hanging with girls so close to the big game was obviously the reason the Chiefs lost. If only Kansas City sports fans provided the two football players with this information beforehand. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. You can't eat 2 days before the big game. There's nothing funnier than irrational sports fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, some snow, a low around 19 degrees, an inch or two possible. Another inch or two possible on Saturday with a high near 29. Saturday night, snow tapers off, cloudy skies, a low of 15. More snow possible on Sunday with a strong northwest wind.
Right now, it's 19.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
the Dom Salvia Show. We're revisiting January 27th with Harvey K.
Harvey, as we went to break, you had quoted something you texted me earlier this week. I guess it was just yesterday, regarding FDR. Quote, I have always believed that, and I frequently have stated, that my own party, being the Democrats, can succeed at the polls only so long as it continues to be the party of militant liberalism. Quote, unquote. Militant liberalism? Man, it sounds like a lot of marching and getting up early and wearing boots, Harvey. I don't know about that. So what does that mean to you, and how does it pertain to today?
Okay. Something that we don't often hear about FDR is the degree to which he really was trying to, in quotes, overthrow the Gilded Age that had begun in the late 19th century and had been under assault by the capital P progressive movement, both of Republicans and Democrats, in the first part of the century. However, after World War I, the Gilded Age ruling class, the corporate bosses, what he actually called the titans of industry, FDR called them the titans of industry, who he said had basically captured control of too much of American life. When he was running for office in 1932, he gave a talk at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, which is a rather elite venue to speak in. And he laid out a sort of thumbnail history of the United States, in which he said, look, we were founded with a promise made in the Declaration of Independence. But in our eagerness for economic and industrial development, we've allowed these industrial titans to usurp, to take over the powers that should belong to the people, and basically, I'm paraphrasing, stomp on the rights of Americans. So he actually called for, in that address at the Commonwealth Club, a new declaration. He called it an economic declaration of rights. And you've heard me talk about an economic bill of rights. If you look at FDR's 12-year presidency, it really was constantly this effort to enhance the small d democratic, I repeat, rights that Americans possessed. And he rooted those rights in the Declaration, in the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he said, look, what does it take to live? And what does it take? I mean, you could talk life, okay? Right. But what does it take to live? Okay, food, clothing, and shelter at a minimum. But as America advanced, the needs increased, but the availability of the resources for working people did not always increase or were not always enhanced. What does liberty demand? Well, as he said very clearly on several occasions, a poor man is not a free man. Okay. Freedom requires capacities. You need to be enabled so that a certain kind of income, a certain kind of living is essential. So life and liberty are essential. And the pursuit of happiness, well, how the hell are you going to be able to pursue happiness right, if you don't have the wherewithal to do it? So to his mind, you had to take life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as a fundamental idea of the American promise and ask what is required in this day in which we live. And thus he called for an economic declaration of rights for the forgotten man, those who had been left out of the Gilded Age power structure. So to him, militant liberalism was a pursuit of a politics that would both afford working people what they would need for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and empower them to secure it at the same time for themselves, which meant ultimately empowering them with the right to organize as a labor movement, empowering housewives in the 1930s, to be able to stand up to businesses that were price gouging, even in the midst of the recovery from the Depression. So militant liberalism is a politics that enables and empowers working people. I have little doubt when I say that that's what he had in mind.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And that's what I was looking for, Professor, and thank you for that. Now, it seems like we're kind of right there again, man. You know, I mean, when you talk about the titans of industry having too much control, and I see, you know, Trump's billionaire cabinet. Do you think that we are essentially back in that space, or did we ever leave?
Well, in fact, this is interesting. Between the 1930s New Deal years and the early 1970s, there was a significant enabling of people and a significant empowerment of people. Now, what I mean by that, for a start, even though the rich got richer in the course of the 40s and the 50s and into the 60s, so too did working people. And inequality actually decreased from about 1938 to about 1973, perhaps. But as I've said before here, in the early 70s, the corporate bosses, not unlike they tried to do to FDR, but failed in the 30s, the corporate bosses organized because they were afraid that the social movements of the 1960s and the persistent strength of the labor movement was going to, that democracy was going to weaken their capacity to operate as capitalists. It was already underway, the regulations, the taxation, and all of that. There were interviews done, and this is fascinating to me, major figures at the New York Times and elsewhere were interviewing corporate leaders and asking them, you know, what do you see as the fundamental problems in America today? And there were those who said the fundamental problem is democracy. They had come to believe that democracy and capitalism could not coexist. And by the way, I would love to ask that question of Elon Musk today, okay, bluntly. I think he's made it fairly apparently clear as to what he thinks is essential. I just, you know, can't get over the fact that we have forgotten the degree to which from the early 70s to the present day, the corporate elite has sought to create, and we've called it the second Gilded Age already. In fact, if things go as Trump and his team of billionaires seem to want it to go, we'll enter not just a worse form of the Gilded Age. We probably call it the third Gilded Age.
It's the Golden Age is what he's referring it to now, Harvey.
He going to invite everyone up to his golden apartment in Trump Tower in New York?
Yeah, man, they're already, you know, the whole mega's meeting down at Mar-a-Lago to figure out their one big beautiful bill. You got his treasury pick saying, number one, we don't need to raise the minimum wage. And number two, the biggest crisis facing America is the expiration of the Trump tax cuts. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's a billionaire. You know, so we're right back. I mean, whatever was going on with FDR, that it's right here, right now. And if I'm hearing you right, Harvey, it was the enabling and empowerment of everyday voters seeking their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that pushed back, that enabled this to claw some of the resources and wealth back from the top 1% of the 1%, as Bernie Sanders would say. What does that mean today? The enabling and the empowerment to pursue the life, liberty, and happiness. How does that translate to today's action, in your opinion?
Well, for a start, it was in, I got to get my years right here. In 2012, the first time Obama was elected was 2008, right?
Yes.
That's when the labor movement had requested the Employee Free Choice Act. And the idea of the Employee Free Choice Act was to make labor organizing possible in places where it had been blocked, and also to make it easier getting workers to sign on as opposed to their fear of the employer. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Obama did nothing to pursue that. Nothing. And keep in mind, in that first year, the Democrats had, a veto-proof majority. In that first year, did nothing. Then, and so ever since then, the Democrats have talked about doing something about it, but they haven't fought to make it possible. And of course, their control over Congress is nothing like it was at various times in the past. So that's one thing. Another thing is that, as you've seen me argue many times, and I've written articles about it, and even produced a comic strip with Matt Strackbine, the letter hack. Democracy, if we're going to save it, we need an economic bill of rights. The majority of Americans want an economic bill of rights. When will the Democrats come out and declare themselves in pursuit of an economic bill of rights? Hell, FDR started with that as an idea and closed on that with an idea. And although he didn't pursue he knew he couldn't get it, you know, by 1944, but along the way, he created the kinds of legislative enactments that basically began to enable and empower Americans in favor of then pursuing the formal economic Bill of Rights.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That is Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Let's get some callers in. Wisco, Paul, you will be next. Welcome. Happy Monday, Paulie. What do you got for us?
Thanks for taking my call. It's a little concerning to me. I think it was today that the president signed an executive order to ditch the Inflation Reduction Act, which has a lot of things in it for seniors, for drugs costs and several other really good things in it, and also to get rid of the infrastructure bill. And this was bipartisan. Now, he signed an executive order, and what I'm learning so far, no Republicans are going to stand up against this. So I ask you, with everything that's went on up to this point, the defense sector, well, I don't want to get too far off the track here. It doesn't seem to me there's anybody that's going to stand up against anything this man does. At least it's for sure not going to happen in a Republican Party, and they control all levers of government. But this is a big deal to sign an executive order on two things that help out the middle class, the people he said he was going to help. So I just like to ask Harvey, I don't know this how this could even be possible, why anybody would even want to do this. It's just... I'm beside myself. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Paulie, of course. Harvey, what are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, why do they want to do it? Because they want to be able to turn around and pass or sustain the Trump tax cuts. Okay. I mean, the guy sitting behind him in the rotunda at his inauguration, folks like that, they're like Trump whisperers. You know, they're horse whisperers, and they're probably whispering in his ear, don't forget the tax cuts, the $1 trillion tax cuts. Okay. I could take it up a little more if, you know, break.
I get that. Harvey, what about the,
let me just add one thing. Yeah, let me add one thing. And the one thing I want to add is this, these are the kinds of things that at least the Democrats should be now raising. There ought to be TV ads, billboards. There ought to be a way for the Democrats to say, we believe that if we could take back the House and the Senate, okay, in 2026, we can start restoring America. We can start taking back America. They have to start campaigning for 2026.
But don't they have to define what that does for the American people? Look, I mean, Donald Trump ran and won on the economics, and Donald Trump hasn't done squat in the first week to address the price of eggs
almost certainly made them more expensive.
He's certainly made the coffee more expensive, given the Columbia kerfuffle, I'll call it, Harvey. And come back with us, 855-752-4842. My question and concern is the knowledge base of the American people. Number one, paying attention, you know, and it's hard to fight when you're barely getting by, you know, and to be able to articulate and specify what, if you put us in power and give us these controls, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, we saw Obama go to power, and he didn't exercise those kinds of powers that he seemingly promised. There are a lot of disappointed Obama voters as well. So I'm concerned about the wherewithal of the American people to digest history, number one, and then to you know, filter through the fire hose of issues and events that just constantly barrage us. We're going to constantly barrage you. Come back with us one last second. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed, so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate.
Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
The Dom Salvia Show, one final segment of the day. You know what that means. Tell us something good.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Before we get to the Tell Me Something Good segment, Harvey, your thoughts on us. You know, on us as a society and our ability to digest and wean out and govern ourselves rationally, man.
Well, I remain a romantic. I continue to believe that Americans deep down carry with them this ideal of what it means to be American, which literally, if properly engaged, would reject the likes of Trump and MAGA.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I got tattoos right on my arm that say that. Life, liberty, and my existence. Me, I am the pursuit of that happiness that I seek, and people shouldn't be able to, I mean, that we've got to protect those, you know, that right of life, liberty, and happiness. And I feel like we're not necessarily handing the power, but our lack of engagement, you know, someone else fills the void, man. And usually, unfortunately, it's billionaires and folks that are cashing those checks doing that. 855-752-4842. Thoughts
and you are, and I have to tell you, I've done a lot of radio shows over the many years. You are, without a doubt, the most uplifting voice.
Oh, Harvey, that's, you know what? My something good for the day, a wonderful compliment from my friend Harvey. Thank you, man. It means a lot. Come from an old cat like you've been around, man. I appreciate that. How about you, Jess? You got anything good you want to share?
Yeah. This weekend, I went dancing with my husband because the world is crazy and scary and we needed to dance. So that was something good, being surrounded by people who were also feeling all of the things and decided to come together and dance about it. That's my something good.
And I'm going to do a little plug here. Mad Planet. Yeah. I love Mad Planet. River West, Milwaukee. Oh, check it out.
It is a place removed from time.
It really is. Was there sometimes they do contests like, you know, Michael Jackson versus
Prince?
No.
It was
just a dance off.
Just a dance off, open requests. It was wonderful.
Awesome.
It was healing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Northwards Terry. Go ahead, Harvey. You go.
Well, I was going to say, I what I said to you was not my planned good thing.
No,
for the,
I get that, but I'll take it, man.
But I do want to say, before we leave today, I have something very important, that two items that are really good.
Oh, you big tease. All right, Nora, Terry, you are next. Harvey's going to hold off to the end. Welcome, Terry. What do you got for us?
Well, that second football game yesterday was really good.
Yes, it was.
Entertaining.
Yes, it was.
Well, and I guess I'm okay with the Chiefs advancing.
with Taylor Swift and her beau, Travis.
Yeah, the brothers. Yep. The other one's the announcer now. Yeah. I was entertained, Terry.
Yes. Second thing I got, can I get serious for a second?
Sure, go ahead.
Five presidents that helped the middle class. I just read this article yesterday in between football games. The five were JFK, LBJ, Clinton, Eisenhower, and my brain went blank here.
How about FDR? Was FDR?
There. The obvious one. Thanks, Dom.
Hey, Harvey. All right. Thank you, Terry. Harvey, you got to love that. Lori, also from the Northwoods, Northwoods listeners. Thank you, Lori. Welcome. Tell us something good.
My something good is that even though Trump is trying to do away with drug policies that Biden has put in place, the new medications that Medicare has agreed to pay for this year cannot be taken away from people if they have insurance that has started the first of the year and covers that. They are safe for those drugs until the end of the year, until the beginning of next year. That's my good news for people.
All right, Lori. I was unaware. Thank you for enlightening me and the audience. 855-752-4842. Okay, Harvey, I want to give you some time. I know you got a couple. Lay it on us, brother.
Okay, this is a joint one. Okay, as you already have figured out, I'm sure, my historical heroes are Thomas Paine of the American Revolution and Franklin Roosevelt of the 20th century. These are my political heroes. This week, every year, is a big week for me. This Wednesday, January 29th, is Thomas Paine's birthday.
Nice.
This Thursday, January 30th, is FDR's birthday. So I get to celebrate, not mine, but Thomas Paine and FDR's birthday back-to-back.
Nice.
What do you do to celebrate those birthdays?
Good question. What do you do, Harvey?
I haven't... this Wednesday, we're going to probably have sushi in honor of Thomas Paine. And on Thursday, my good buddy John...
sushi in honor of Thomas Paine?
Yeah, well, he probably never tasted sushi, but he probably did eat raw fish somewhere along the way. And then on Thursday, my... really best buddy up here in Green Bay, John Shelton, the labor historian, vice president of the American Federation of Teachers here in the state. He and I will go for our drinks on Thursday late in the day and celebrate FDR's memory and legacy.
Oh, most excellent. Will those be adult beverages? And what's your poison if you pick one, Harvey?
We used to go for beers. And then I decided that there was too many carbs there. So, we will drink bourbon.
A little bourbon.
Bourbon? All right.
Straight.
Harvey, right. Kay, thank you so much, man. It's always a pleasure. I mean it to hang out with you and have these conversations.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will be back live on Monday again with our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Have a great weekend.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Three more hostages set to be released tomorrow by Hamas in Gaza, including one American. ABC's Marcus Moore is in Tel Aviv.
One of them, the American, Sagi Dekel Hin, who, by the way, is a father of three children. And in fact, his youngest child was born while he's been in captivity. And so they're certainly hoping that he will be freed soon to be with his family.
Israel expected to release more Palestinian prisoners. Vice President J.D. Vance in Germany for the Munich Security Conference today also met with Ukraine's President Zelensky about starting brokered talks to end Russia's war. Zelensky says he wants security guarantees in any peace deal. The board of OpenAI officially rejecting Elon Musk's investor group $97.4 billion